After this past week's book study, Hilliard and I talked a bit about one of my favorite preachers slash comedians, Brother Dave Garner. Have any of y'all ever heard of Dave Garner before? Okay, he has some great stories, and one of my favorite illustrates the point that sometimes we act prematurely on insufficient information. And of course, I have to channel Brother Dave to get this just right. But there was this lady, and she was planning to have a fancy dinner party. She talked to her husband. They had a supper club, you know. And it was going to be quite the affair. She was going to have ribeye steaks. And just to be one up on all the other ladies, she was going to put mushrooms on top of those ribeye steaks. Mushrooms. Toadstools. She sent her husband out into the forest to forage for mushrooms, since the general store was out of them. And he went out and he got a basket full of mushrooms. And he cooked them down in some butter, real cow butter, not that fake stuff. And he put in a little bit of garlic powder, and he put in a little flour to thicken them, and he put some white wine in there, and oh, it was a fine affair. And just to be on the safe side, he took a few of those mushrooms, and he mixed some bacon grease in with them. And he put it in a bowl, and he gave it to Old Blue, the yard dog. And Old Blue, he lapped that stuff up. Well, the lady of the house went to town, and she hired a lady to come out and help her serve everything. And the meal was wonderful, and everybody was just a-raving about the steak with the mushrooms on top. And about the time everybody got finished and they're feeling full and satisfied, the lady from town come in and said, "Old Blue's dead." Well, everybody felt bad after that. They called the doctor, back when doctors made house calls, and he slid up in his Cadillac and took them all to the hospital, had all their stomachs pumped, and they're all sitting around in the hospital lobby suffering from the trauma of gastric irrigation. And the lady came in. That fancy lady from town, she come in and she said, "You know that truck that hit Old Blue never even slowed down?" Sometimes we are premature in acting on information that is not complete. And this gospel lesson today, well, it's kind of like that. This gospel lesson has bits and pieces we have to kind of try to tie together to make a whole. And we need to consider it as a whole before we go out and act on it. For instance, the first thing we see is some Greeks come up to Andrew and they say, "We would like to see Jesus." Now, you have to remember Andrew. Andrew is not the highest brain power of all the apostles. And I'm not saying that in a mean way. Andrew was the one you would always find hanging out with the children around the periphery. Andrew's the one who brought the child with the loaves and fishes to Jesus, you know. Andrew is not the bright shining star, but he is a powerful saint in his own right because he can relate to the young ones. And he's there. And while all the other apostles, disciples sitting around taking in these deep lessons, Andrew's rolling around on the ground with the kids and just having a marvelous time. Probably one of the more significant evangelists of all of them, I think. Low key, but high return there. So the Greeks come up to Andrew And Andrew doesn't quite know what to do, so what's he going to do? He goes to Philip, and he and Philip go to Jesus. And did you notice? Nothing happened? As far as we can tell, the Greeks never really got to see Jesus because Jesus goes off on a discourse. Now, a quick word about these Greeks. A lot of people have said this is a symbol that the gospel of Jesus Christ is going out to the Gentiles and into the world, and I'm just not too terribly sure about that. My own personal opinion is that these Greeks were Jewish Greeks of the diaspora who had left Israel and Judah when Nebuchadnezzar came in and sacked Jerusalem and everybody scattered to the four winds. My opinion is that these Greeks are Jewish Greeks. And if you want to go into the Greek New Testament and the Latin after church, I'll fill you in on it. Don't hold your breath. It's not all that important. They don't really get to see Jesus because Jesus goes off on a discourse. Truth be told, it's kind of a dark discourse. Jesus is anticipating Holy Week, the Passion, how he will die. He talks about a piece of a seed of grain going into the ground and dying and decaying, but from that decay comes a marvelous crop. And then he goes on, he talks about people leaving themselves behind and serving Christ and taking on a new identity. And if you want to save your life, you're going to lose it. And if you seek to lose your life for the sake of the gospel, you're going to find it. And all of that has nothing to do with the beginning of the lesson. But I think what this passage has to show us today is that we can draw one central focus out of it. We can bring a synthesis of these different accounts into, if not a seamless whole, certainly a functional whole. And the operant phrase in all of this is, we want to see Jesus. Now, the poor Greeks, as far as we can tell, never got to saw him, but they did get to see the effect of the gospel of Jesus Christ. They were there in Jerusalem for Passover. And so they were witnesses to everything that happened during that week which followed. You know, we want to see Jesus too. And we're always on the lookout for Jesus. I have learned to see the face of Jesus in just about everybody I run into. Jesus has put people in my path for a reason. I will tell you that whenever I look at my face in the mirror, I see Jesus a lot less than I would like to. But that's just me. I am my own worst critic. I'm my own harshest judge. And I suspect that all of us are. We know full well the times we have failed to reflect Jesus to the people in our sphere of influence or even in our sphere of existence. We can always find the times when we have let God down. And the good news of the gospel is that those Greeks still keep coming to each one of us and saying, we want to see Jesus. You, Christian, show me Jesus. I believe it was St. Francis of Assisi, although it may have been Augustine. It was one of those heavy hitters who said, preach the gospel always. And only if necessary, use words. How are we going to show Jesus to the people whom we encounter in our everyday lives? And I think we need to first of all remember we're never going to do it perfectly. We're still human. We still suffer the anxieties and the angers and the guilts and the shames of who we are. And if you set yourself up to be the perfect person to illustrate Jesus, you are running a fool's errand. Because you see, the truth of the gospel is that people are going to see Jesus in us despite us. That's a hard truth. People are going to see Jesus in us despite us. And the truth of the matter is, when people are looking for Jesus, they're not really looking for perfection. They're looking more for transcendent meaning. And it is those small moments in life when we can share of ourselves in small, perhaps forgettable ways that we have an impact. We do help people to see Jesus. And guess whose responsibility that is? It's not ours. The responsibility is with Jesus himself. Because of my own, I can do nothing to point people to Jesus and say, this is the way you should go. This is what you should do. This is how you should articulate your faith. No, the people in my life who have miraculously come to see Jesus despite me, when I ask them, what is it that led you to believe in Jesus? They will often cite some seemingly insignificant thing that I have done, a word that I gave, and by the power of Jesus that entered their life, like that seed Jesus talks about, and it blossomed, and I had nothing to do with it, to my way of thinking. And yet, that moment made all the difference to them. I remember in Bainbridge, Georgia, my treasurer at my little church there, he shared an office with a guy who was a Raymond James broker. And for those of you who don't know what Raymond James is, they're people who handle a lot more money than I will ever have. And that's okay. I would go and I would wait to see Jim. And Steve would come out and he'd see me. And I was always there. You know, I was just hanging around, waiting, looking, smiling like the city moron. It's what I do best. And Steve, after about a year, wanted to come and join our church. And I said, well, what is it that attracted you to our church? He said, because you're always smiling. Every time I see you, you're smiling. And that's attractive. And that makes me want to have just a little bit of what you have. And I suspect somehow it's to be found at the church. And that was just, you know, a common act of idiocy on my part. I'm always smiling. Somebody said, smile all the time. Makes people wonder what you're up to. Well, for Steve, that was the catalyst that made him come into our fellowship. and be eventually one of the most dynamic leaders and elders I've ever had the privilege of working with. All because of a smile? No, it was all because Jesus took a smile and he worked his heavenly magic with it and changed a life. I want you this week, as we approach Palm Sunday, to think about the people who surround you, and especially the people on the periphery, not necessarily family and friends, but the people you encounter every day in your common day-to-day beings and doings. Oftentimes, those people wish to see Jesus and stop and think how, by your words and your deeds, you can impart the gospel to them. And don't try to design it. Don't try to put mushrooms on top of the steak. You're going to remember that story, aren't you? Just do what you do, trusting that the Spirit of Christ will take something, some small item of your presentation, and somehow, some way, they will see Jesus. Let's pray together. Help us, O Lord, to realize that proclaiming the gospel is often best done in small, innocent, and insignificant ways. Help us to be the bearers of the good news, but keep us from beating people over the head with it. Rather, let us spread the gospel by attraction rather than persuasion, and in joy rather than in haste. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.